Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Tina S. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, January the 8th, 2026. Today we're reading from the big book and we are on page 12, starting with the paragraph my friend suggested through one paragraph, ending with, why don't you choose your own conception of God? The readers today are Sally A. for the text, Susan S.H. for page 164, backup Tricia D., who's reading the 12 steps. And the reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, January the 7th, the 7 a.m. meeting is 23,095, that's 23,095. And the 10 a.m. meeting is 23,096, that's 23,096. This is the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Excuse me. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Tricia D. to read the 12 steps. Tricia.
Good morning, Tina. This is Tricia D., a recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for doing service. I can do service and I pass.
Thanks so much, Tricia. And Anne-Marie is going to read the 12 traditions. Anne-Marie?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Tina. Thank you for your service and good morning, everyone. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest the problem of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Anne-Marie. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 12. And Sally A., get us started.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Tina. And thank you, everyone behind the scenes, all of the Wizards of Oz out there. I'm Sally A. in New York. What a great paragraph. What a great couple of sentences to share on this morning. My friend suggested what then seemed a novel idea. He said, why don't you choose your own conception of God? And what a great idea. I was always stuck with a conception that didn't work for me. And I thought about this. Who is my conception of God now? What does my God look like in my own thinking, my own conception? Well, he's my savior. He rescued me from the pit that I was in many times. He saved me from myself and continues to save me from me daily. He is the lover of my soul, my Prince Charming, my most Prince Charming. He is my Tom Selleck plus. He's tall, hairy, strong, a great listener, and a man of few words. You know, I've thought about this. I thought about a few times when I prayed to God. One time I prayed to my Prince Charming, and I was saying, not even laying, sitting on my bed reading, I stopped and I said, I am so mad at you. No sounds in my brain. I'm not schizophrenic, but no words came to me. And I said it louder and louder. I'm so spitting mad at you. I can't believe you let my mother die when I was so young. I can't believe you let my brother, who was like a father to me, die when he was 42. I cannot believe you let that happen to me. I'm mad at you. And I started crying in the midst of saying this over and over. And I then heard in my mind of just a few words, I know. Just I know. Another time I was impressed to call my father. I don't like to call my father. My father pretty much abandoned his first children from his first marriage when I was 18. And I don't like to call my dad. But I was impressed to call my dad, and I was not happy about it. And I said to God in my prayer, I don't want to. I don't want to call this guy. And then my God, a man of few words, said, I love him. And it blew my mind. You love this person who I don't even like? You love the person who was so bad and so wrong? I love him. And this kind of changed my whole perspective on my father and allows me to call him every few weeks to let him know I'm okay and I'm here and maybe assuage his guilt. Number 4, my God is all inclusive. You can stumble at first. You can, in the beginning, you can stumble. Remember that beginning is half done. I used to always remember that when I had to write a paper or study. Beginning is half done. The book gives us so many different ideas. He is my creator. My newfound friend is right on the next page. My father, which doesn't work for me, the director, the principal, so many different ways that we can think of God.
Reminder.
For me, he's my Prince Charming. And I take those three steps every day, and what it means to me is, step one, admit it, I need you. Step two, believe, I will trust you. Step three, turn, I'll come to you, I'll run to you. Thanks for letting me share this morning, everyone. Have a blessed day.
Thanks so much, Sally A. Okay, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that everyone has the opportunity to share. And if you give me your name, your first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from, I can take some names. Who would like to share?
LCM, Pennsylvania.
LCM.
Margaret D., Georgia.
D., Georgia.
Anayeta R.
Anayeta.
Jill R., Connecticut.
Nancy P.
Nancy P.
Anita J.
Anita
Brooke
J.
K. Brooke K, Toronto, Ontario.
What was the first name? I got K, but I can't hear first name.
Brooke. Brooke.
Brooke. Brooke. Okay. Okay, let's stop there and then we'll take another list. Okay, and this is who I have. I think it was either LCM or Kelsey M from Pennsylvania, Margaret D., Anieta R., Jill R., Nancy P., Anita J., and Bruja K. Okay, Elsie or Kelsey, would you like to share? Star 1, LCM from Pennsylvania.
Okay, sorry about that. This is LCM from outside of Philadelphia. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And this paragraph opened up my eyes. It helped me to see things that I hadn't seen before. I had, Sally A. had shared, I had a conception of God that wasn't working for me. It was a critical God. It was a judgmental God. It was the God of my childhood. And I had never thought of anything different. I mean, to me, that was God. You know, what was. And I didn't see anything different. When I read this paragraph, it was said to me by a fellow that my eyes, like, I couldn't believe. And I think that's what recovery is about. It's about opening up our eyes and seeing things that we couldn't see before. And so it was suggested to me to write a list of qualifications of what I wanted in my higher power. And at first I thought that was kind of blasphemy. I thought, how can you do that? But I wrote out a list, and like some of the things that were said by the previous share, that the being was all loving and compassionate and listening, but set boundaries, was omnipotent, omnipresent. I could go on, but I won't. It was really clear to me that I could have a loving, loving presence. And I see my higher power in a gold light, and that really helps me to feel safe. And that is something that I really value in having that relationship. I did not feel safe with the God that I grew up with. There was a lot of hypocrisy. And I avoided that. And so this is a totally different loving God. And right now I'm going through an experience in my life where I feel like God is really saying, this is what I want you to do. This is the path I want you to travel. And it
it's, I believe that God blesses or blocks, and that he's really blessing me right now with some decisions I'm making in my life with his guidance. And I can really feel his presence, and it's a wonderful feeling. So that's all I have to share. And again, it's L-C-E-L-S-I-E. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks so much, LCM from Pennsylvania. Next, we have Margaret D., followed by Honietta. Please share with us, Margaret. Star one, Margaret. Can't hear you. Margaret D.?
Thank you so much. Yeah, I was just talking away. First of all, a big welcome to the Still Suffering Compulsive Eater. Whether you're brand new or you've been in recovery for years and years and years, what this thought brings up for me is that when I was in the disease, the God of my understanding was a diseased God. When I actually started, the minute I said, which I'm sure we'll hear more about later on, but the minute I surrendered and said that God is not working for me in a way that it's not helpful, and I surrender. I don't know. I have no understanding of any other God but this God in my disease. And it's okay. It's okay. What's more important is that God understands me instead of me understanding God. And so for many, many years, whenever I had to, or whenever I even wanted to pray, I just talked to the God of my not understanding. And things just changed immediately. One of the biggest prayers that has helped is the set-aside prayer about God. Please set aside everything I think I know about myself, my brokenness, my spiritual path, and especially you, so that I may have a new understanding of myself, my brokenness, my spiritual path, and most importantly, you, God. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Margaret D. from Georgia. Next, we have Honietta R., and followed by Jill R. Please share, Honietta.
Yes, thank you so much for your service. My name is Honietta R., and I'm from Plano, Texas, just outside Dallas. First, I
can't hear you, honey. I said must have remuted yourself. Star one. Honey,
no, I was unmuted. Can you help hear me now?
Okay. Now we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Okay, did you hear what I said about the newcomers?
Nope.
No, nothing. Okay. So my name is Honietta R. from Texas, just outside Dallas. And I wanted to welcome all the newcomers because you're the most important person, people at the meetings today for me, because I can't keep what I have unless I give it away. And I hope you all give your name when it's time to give newcomer names so we can talk to you. And don't quit 5 minutes before your miracle, because everybody has a miracle. Okay, now, did we just read the little paragraph, or did we use that one and the next one? I didn't, because came on a little late this morning.
One paragraph.
Okay. So my, I just love the fact that it says, why don't you choose your own conception of God? My conception of God is these great big fluffy cloud hands that I crawl up into and he just holds me tight. But it's so soft and it's so warming and it's so comfy. And whenever I need to, I can just close my eyes and see his fluffy cloud hands, and I can crawl up into them. That's the way I see God. But he's also my best friend, my confidant. He's my father. He's my judge and jury. He's everything to me. My higher power is the most wonderful being or non-being that I just love to think about it. Sometimes I'll sit really, really still and I'll put my arms around me like I'm giving myself a hug, and I just feel God giving me a hug. Or I'll yell at him and scream at him, why aren't you doing this and why aren't you doing that? Why isn't it going my way, you know? And then I laugh and say, yeah, because my way is probably going to ruin the whole world. But he doesn't mind if I yell at him or if I'm loving him. Even when I yell at him, I love him. But it's okay for me to say, I'm angry with you. I'm angry. I don't want this to happen. I don't want my friends to be sick. I don't want to be sick. But especially I don't want my friends to be sick. Heal them. You know, heal them in my time, you know. And he just pats me on the back and says, I hear you, you know. But, you know, it's got to be my way. And I know that. I just have to say that it says in the next paragraph, which I know we're not supposed to do, but it says, I stood in the sunlight at last. And that comes right after this fact that he says that you can choose your own conception of God. And to me, that's so...
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. Just the fact of thinking that I'm standing in the sunlight of God. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you for your service again.
Thanks so much, honey, at the R from Texas. Next, we have Jill R, followed by Nancy P. Please share, Jill. Star one, Jill. Did I not get the name right? From Connecticut? Somebody R from Connecticut?
Yes, this is Jill R from Connecticut. And Sally, thank you for your lead, and thank you for everyone who makes this line possible. I've been listening for about 4 years and have never shared, and I feel so blessed to have heard this line, my conception of God. God has let me listen for so, so long, and I have finally found the reason to share. God has brought me to share a fifth step yesterday with my sponsor, and my conception of God is an ear that listens to me, a muscle that is strong, an arrow that guides me, a heart that holds me, and people that love me. And I give myself butterfly hugs, and it's rocks that balance me. And I have, in one bleak March night, my very first sponsor said, come up with characteristics, and I think it was mentioned, characteristics that your God has. And I had, when I was younger, had a God, but, you know, coming into program, I had no concept of that. And I just had to, you know, vision board that, and I came up with these concepts and had pictures of them. And then I realized that these images were just, I had to latch on to them and hold them and put them on my God can and surrender to them. And all of these, I put them on my screensaver and look at them. I have to have that image of them. And I keep my God close to me like a cloak around my neck. And I can cry to my God and had my God with me even before program, but didn't even know that. These traumatic things happened to me and God brought me through them. And I can cry out to my God now and just say, help me, and God is with me all the time. I know it. I know it. I feel it inside me, deep down in the depths of my body. And I'm so, so grateful to have this God close to me. So with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Joe R. from Connecticut. Next, we have Nancy P., followed by Anita J. Please share, Nancy.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for letting me share. Good morning, everybody. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. So, you know, now the agnostic shares. Like, I don't care about God or anything, but the operative word in this sentence is then. Like, I need to remember, I personally need to remember that Bill is basically still, you know, soaking wet. You know, he hasn't even, you know, he hasn't even come out of the hospital yet, trembling and broken. He's, you know, or he's just barely done that. he didn't know that he was going to be separated from alcohol for the last time. That's still yet to come. So for me, you know, when I read this now as a recovered woman who's been recovered for several years, I can see that I didn't need at this point in time to have like a fully formed concept of something that was going to take care of me. And I get a lot of calls, you know, well, who do you surrender to? And I don't care. My answer is I don't care. And well, what's your conception? And I can go into that in detail. But what this tells me is that, you know, basically that the best is yet to come. I'm looking back on this as a recovered person. Like at this point in time, when I was at this place, I had to smash everything because, you know, what I was trying wasn't working. You know, I was in my house the other day. I was in this house, in my house, and I had one of my devices, you know, my iPad or maybe my phone or my something like that plugged in. And my husband walks by. He's an engineer. He goes, "That's the wrong connection." I was like, "Really? It's plugged in, it, you know, they, all the different, you know, lightning and thunder and whatever they have, UCB, whatever, all these things. I don't know anything about that. All I know is the plug was in the wall and it fit into the thing that I had plugged in. But my husband said that it was wrong and that I needed to change it. And I took it out and I took the plug out and I said, "Oh, I see what you mean. It's really hot." And it could have burned out the plug and the device if I had left it there. And that's kind of what me and God were like for the first almost 50 years that I was in, 47 years that I was in this program. You know, I had this thing that looked plugged in, but it was not hot or cold, or it just wasn't working. Like, and it kept exploding, and I'd have to go back to the beginning. And at this point in time, you know, I didn't know what to do. I couldn't say, "Oh, yeah, you know, I used to say, yeah, I'll have nature be my higher power. Yeah, I like whales and elephants and mountains, and yeah, I'll do that." And, you know, the starry night, who hasn't looked on a starlit night, that type of thing. I've tried to put myself in that place, and that never worked. What I needed was someone who had more experience than me and the recovery that I wanted to help me and tell me, tell me what to do. And when I got that, then I did that, and, you know, thus was my cornerstone set in place, and no later vicissitude has shaken it. And trust me, I'm not different from anybody else. I've had a lot of vicissitudes. I've had a lot of stuff that's been shaking in my life, a lot of catastrophes and, you know, good and bad, not catastrophes, but I've had some upheavals that have been both good and bad. And nothing has shaken my serenity, you know? And the reason I know that is because I have five pillars of wonderfulness, and they're, you know, I'm happy, joyous, and free. I don't hurt myself with food under any circumstances. I help other people. I comprehend the word serenity, and I know peace. And as I've said to other people, there are plenty of people that have better recovery than me. I concede, no problem. But nobody is happier than I am. And what I have is free, and thank you, is free and abundant for everybody. You just got to go out and grab it with both hands. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Nancy P. from Massachusetts. Next, we have Anita J., followed by Bruja K. Please share, Anita.
Thank you very much. I almost can say ditto, kid, to Nancy P., but I'm Anita J., and I am recovered. And Massachusetts with the help of that loving God and groups like this. But, you know, I had lost it. Never mind, it was the pneumonia, I couldn't eat, and insurers. It's just all of that. It doesn't matter that I didn't make a decision to pick up. It happened, and then I got hooked. But the thing is, he spoke to me. God spoke to me. Maybe he tried before, but I didn't hear it. But I've been trying very hard to get that back-to-back abstinence again. And I'd come up with strategies. I did not know that's what I was doing. But finally, I was coming up with another strategy when I just heard, you know, I'm the only way you're going to get that abstinence back again. And it was like I toppled out of bed if I had been in a bed, you know, with my head down, not able to look in the light, his light. That was the feeling. It just like, you know, back in 2014, when I had finally realized after decades, you can't have one. And this happened now, you know, it's happened again. I'm just, but this is deeper. This ties so much to God. That everything walks through God. If I'm going to do anything, it goes through God. You know, he makes a decision. And you know, one way I can tell again, and you know, I live in an independent living, but our apartments, I've got pretty thick walls, so I don't think anyone can hear. But the old Anita's back, which is I sing in the shower, the hymns, all the old hymns. They're just, you know, how great thou art. I just am belching them out. And so anyway, that's all. I am a very grateful person. And even though I just went through a year of, you know, H-E-L-L, there was a reason for it. I can see it now. And with that, thank you, everybody. You're all my buddies. I pass.
Thanks so much, Anita J. Before we hear from Bruja, let me tell you where we're reading from. We're in Bill's story on page 12, and it's the second paragraph, starting with "My friend suggested," reading through one paragraph, ending with "Why don't you choose your own conception of God?" And then we'll take Bruja and then another list of names. Bruja, please share with us.
Hi, everybody. I'm Bruja, gratefully compulsive overeater by the grace of God. I had really struggled. I came in decades ago, and I had no problem with step one because my life was so unmanageable, and I was eating out of control, and I gained so much weight. And I had three boys under the age of five, and I was just a mess. And then I came into this program. I was blessed by someone I called, and I thought I was very profound. I didn't know about Overeaters Anonymous. I told her that I wish there was something for compulsive overeaters as there is for alcoholics. And she said, there is, and we have a meeting tonight. And I was desperate. So it took me 5 minutes to get to that meeting. And that was decades ago. And I really struggled with the concept of God. Both my parents are Holocaust survivors. Both of them lost children. They went to the gas chamber. And when I was eight, I lost my aunt, who practically raised me. And I was so frightened and upset and didn't know when I first did my first inventory and I looked at that column that said fear. I thought I was blessed that I didn't have any fear, but I really did once I started working the program. And my first sponsor had me act as if I had to make a list of all the things I wanted God to be, my conception of God. And I started slowly with step two, And I really came to believe that that power is there for me and loves me. And I had a real crisis one night because I just was so frightened that God was not there for me. And then I had this voice in my head saying, you don't have to ask why. You just have to act as if. And that's what I did for a long time. I acted as if until I actually believed. So step two was really hard for me. But once I crossed that threshold, I made a decision to turn my life over. And since then, I've been blessed with so many things. And on a daily basis, I wake up in the morning and thank God for giving me another day to serve. And I've been blessed with 3 amazing sons and daughter-in-laws, and I have 9 grandchildren that I just love. And is that my time up? I heard a sound.
Gentle reminder.
Oh, just a reminder. Okay. So today I'm just so grateful, and I do my 10-step every day. And before I go to bed, I say, God, I love you with all my heart. Thank you. And I'm just so grateful. And God is my gratitude. With that, I'll end.
Thanks so much, Bruca K. from Toronto. And next, we'll take another list of names. We can take about 6 names. Give me your first name, initial of your last. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Hello? Hey.
Somebody's on.
Janice, DM.
Alexa,
is in a car.
Joanne D., New York.
Okay, hold on. All I got was Janice. That's it. Janice. Who else? Sorry. There was a beeping or something going on. I couldn't hear anybody.
Alexa Zeff.
Danielle O., New York.
Danielle O.
Susan S.
Donna S.
Susan S.
Joanne
S.
D.
Donna S.
Yeah. Donna S. Joanne D. That's all. Let's stop there, and then if we have more time, we can take some more names. Okay, let's start out with Janice. Please share with us, Janice.
Well, good morning to you, and thank you. Thank you for your moderating. This is Jan. I'm Janice PM, and I'm from Massachusetts, and I'm a recovered, grateful, compulsive overeater. You know, this little paragraph is so simple. Oh, and I love it, of course. You know, and it's a message of hope. That's what I read from this. This is what I've been taught. You know, Bill, of course, we know, was so rejected of a God because he didn't believe a God. Yet he saw Bill. He saw Abby. And, you know, Abby was a miracle. And Abby gave him the gift of hope that said to him, why don't you choose your own conception of God? Well, when anybody tells me to choose my own idea of anything or do what I want to do, how I want to do it, boy, that sounds good. That's a new idea for me. Instead of, you know, I was brought up with this is how you have to believe. This is what we believe. It's the right religion, you know, and he rejected religion for whatever reason. So this paragraph, the theme of this paragraph is not designed to prove the existence of God or to tell me what God is. It's your own idea. I'm not going to explain to anybody what I think my God is. If I want to, I guess I can. But this paragraph just gives you a little hope, and it tells us, what's the difference? What difference does it make what you call this person higher than you? It can't be you, because that doesn't work. My mind is so finite. My God's ideas are infinite, but it gives us hope that this is what's going to happen to us. You know, he couldn't argue. Bill could not argue with Ebby at this time. He just couldn't argue with him because he saw a miracle. He was the proof before him. He was drunk, just like, you know, he was. He was a drunk. He didn't see any hope. But this has given him a lot of hope. And what hope I hope that each one of us has that hasn't received that God yet. But you will if like I did, I got abstinent and I practiced these 12 steps. And then my God of my understanding came through. And so that's really what it says, I'm willing to believe. And, you know, this step two we're coming to is I didn't believe I had my own
reminder.
God. Yes. And I thank you so much. But I changed. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Janice PM from New York. And next we have Alexis F. And when you give me your name, please tell me where you're calling from. Please unmute Alexis and share with us.
Alexis F., New Jersey, East Coast Farm. For the sake of my inner peace, I chose the quality of mercy as the most important part of how I feel about God. And someone gave me a picture of the God of mercy, and it's really beautiful, and I stare at it all the time. And my imagination's going crazy because his hands are moving, his face is moving. It's moving all over the place, but it gave me an inspiration that if God cares enough about each little hair on our head, how much more would he care about what we put into our bodies? And if you want a healthy body, I exercise an hour a day. And I don't think it's too much. And I eat very healthily. I even pomegranate juice for your arteries. God of mercy is the attribute that I like the most about him. And my abstinence is good, and I attribute that to him. And I've been able to put down 3 addictions, and that's because of him and his mercy. And I don't deserve any of the mercy that he has shown me in life, and I don't deserve any of the good things that he's given me in life more than I had before when I was young. And so I'm grateful for all of that. And I'm grateful to all of you for being here. And thank you for leading. I pass.
Thanks so much, Alexis F. from New Jersey. And next we have Danielle O. followed by Susan S.H. Please share and unmute Danielle O. and tell us where you're calling from.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Danielle O. from Plattsburgh, New York. Not originally, but I live in Plattsburgh. So this is such a good topic because for many years I created my own conception of God and didn't want to concede to anybody that I was going to follow what they did. And I stuck with that for many, many years, thinking I was doing the right thing. I'm not going to be a person who's going to follow what my mother and father did. I'm going to just be my own person. And that really didn't avail much. And when I got into OA, I ended up learning more about myself in that whatever I was doing wasn't working. So I started to lean in a little bit more on this God topic. And when I did,
he just came rushing at me with open arms. And that was when everything started to change. But what happens is that doesn't mean my self-will always goes to the back seat. It does for a little bit when I'm abstinent, but there's always that sneaky little thing in my head that says it's okay. And even though I had built and it started building on a relationship with God, I was submitting to that and, you know, doing a lot more in that area of my life, I still found myself relapsing. And I knew how much it, how damaging it was over and over, how much I was suffering. But God still loved me. And there was still that, because things were still happening spiritually in my life, whether I was eating or not, like whether I was compulsively overeating or not. But I knew that in order for me to truly get the real essence of everything he was going to give me or wanted for me, I had to get clean. And, you know, I'm only 65 days in, and what a difference. What a difference it makes when I'm not only right with God, but also abstinent and clearly working the steps and working on that relationship, because it's all about him. And I'm grateful that everything happened the way it did. I have no regrets, because it had to be the way it was. But I'm glad for the clarity. I'm grateful for his grace. I'm grateful for everything that's happened. I'm grateful to be part of this program and the people in it. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks so much, Danielle O. from New York. Next, we have Susan S.H., followed by Donna S. Sorry. Please share, Susan.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Susan S.H. in Ohio, and I'm a compulsive overeater, recovered for today. Grateful. This is such an important little tiny paragraph to me, but it includes me. It included me when I just had no inkling of how I was going to fit into this, because I just wasn't sure what I believed anymore. And I had searched for a higher power from time to time. And I thought I had it. And then the vicissitudes of life would just wash that away. And I just didn't know if I even cared to try, but I was desperate. And so this paragraph, along with the following paragraph, a matter of willing to believe, opened the door for me to, and I'm so grateful for that. I'm hearing a lot of others speaking of acting as if. And, you know, at first, acting as if struck me as untruthful. But the fact is, acting as if just means taking the action suggested, stepping out in faith that these actions helped others and they can help me. And I'm so glad that I stepped out in faith to do that, because taking the actions and getting the results promised has opened up a relationship with a higher power that I just couldn't imagine was for me too. My own conception of God, I heard it in churches, I heard it whenever God was spoken of, was unconditional love. And I trust unconditional love every day. So that's what I have, that's what that paragraph reminds me of, and yeah, I'm glad to look at it again. And I pass.
Thanks so much, Susan S.H. from Ohio. And next we have Donna S., followed by Joanne D. Please share, Donna.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for all your fantastic shares. It just warms my heart. Well, when I think about the paragraph that we read, I'm thinking, well, Bill wasn't sober when he heard this, but Ebby had a higher, and they're buddies. They're good friends. So when Ebby shares to Bill, Bill listens. Ebby's sober, so there's something here that's going on. So this is, I think, when Bill starts to see the light a little bit here. And me, when I started to see the light, it took time. I always had God of my understanding. I had my church God, and I believed in my church God. I believed in him, but he just wasn't the same as my spiritual God. Not that there's, to me, they're really the same person, because I think that's how I got close, my relationship got closer to God, because I've always tried to have a relationship with God since I was a little girl. And by working these steps and listening to things, and, you know, as life goes on, now I'm 67 years old, so there was a lot of life, a lot of stuff has happened in that time. And when I look at my life, my God was always there for me. There was things that, oh my gosh, you never thought you'd get through. I mean, I had, you know, like everybody else, I had stuff that lasted years and years, and praying and praying and talking to God. And you know what? I saw the light after many years. The light shined through my family. A lot of things. But my God was always there for me. And, you know, I'm very grateful. I write gratitudes every day. I write 10 gratitudes. They might be materialistic. They might be godly ones. They could be anything. But I'm grateful to my God. I'm grateful every day. And if I don't do that, don't feel good. And just like doing 10 steps, it's about the same thing. If I don't do these 10 steps or whatever, and, you know, check my motives or why I'm doing what I'm doing or why I'm upset. When I'm upset, I know I have to relax. I have to breathe. I have to put God in the picture. If I don't, I'm a mess. I keep going on and on and get all crazy in my head. But I'm so grateful to be here, and I thank you all for your shares in this meeting. Have a blessed day.
Thanks so much, Donna S. Where are you calling from, please?
Hi, everybody. I'm Joanne, an addict living in recovery.
I'm calling from Boca Raton, Florida.
Okay. And where are you calling from, Joanne? Go ahead. Joanne D., star one. Star one, Joanne D.
Hi, do you hear me?
I can hear you now. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New York, and I'm Joanne, an addict living in recovery. And I love this Vision for You meeting. It's so, so wonderful. I feel God's love throughout all of you. And yesterday I woke up with such a desire to research the goodness of God. And I went on YouTube, and I typed that in, the search. And I saw that there were just so many beautiful videos. Just there was a three-hour video about his goodness and all his attributes. And I was just listening to it as I was getting ready. And then I went on Google, and I typed in the goodness of God. And I said, they said, God is mercy, grace, love, kindness, compassion, patience, faithful. His nature is inherently good. He's the source of every good gift. And hold on. And so as I continued to look at the attributes, I examined his goodness. God is good. He's gracious and kind and compassionate. He is good and does good. There is nothing in him that's not good. And the more that I learn of him, the more that I want of him, and the less that I want of myself. And he's very personal to me. And you know, no matter what happens in my life or in our lives, God never leaves us. In his goodness, he gave us the greatest gift. And he's just good. When I'm discouraged or overwhelmed, I could cling to the goodness of God and press on, knowing he's at work because his purposes for us and me are always good. And I know that in all things, God will work it out for those who love him. And I just ended with this prayer this morning during my praise and worship. I just said, thank you for your goodness. You are loving. You are kind. You are gracious. You are always good. Thank you that in your goodness, you created us and everything around us. Help me to remember your goodness, even when I'm tired and overwhelmed. And thank you that you will never leave me. Thank you that you've always been good to me. And on that, I'll pass. Thank you.
perfect timing. Thanks so much, Joanne D. from New York. And thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, January the 8th, 2026, for the 7 a.m. meeting is 23,099. That's 23099. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will you please read 164, Susan S.H.?
Yeah, thank you. This is Susan S.H. again, compulsive overeater recovered for the day. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you or to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God and understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Hear freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until